Matthew chapter 1, the message today is an inquiry after the name of God. We've considered it twice from the Old Testament. Today we want to consider it from the New Testament and the Old Testament as well, an inquiry after the name of God. I will read a few verses to you and bring others to your attention. But listen to this verse, first of all. Our Savior is on earth, speaking to the multitudes, and when he speaks to them, this is what they say to him. Who are you? Isn't that a remarkable thing? That he's been among them, born in Bethlehem of Judea, brought up about 30 years in Nazareth, and he speaks to them, and they ask him, who are you? So let's look at Matthew chapter 1 now, and we're going to combine with the message, an inquiry after the name of God, also some thoughts from the other messages I gave to you on great is the mystery of godliness. And I tell you at the first, after I impart to you ever so much from what the Word of God says, you will still look at the Savior and say, who are you? Great is the mystery of godliness. Let us see now. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 20. Matthew 21, verse 20. When Joseph thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this has come to pass, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Now let's read from the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. Proverbs, chapter 30. Starting at verse 1, these names have sound very strange to you, but they are beautiful names. The first one means the gatherer. The second one means the obedient, the pious one. But I'll just read the names as they are. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 1. The words of Agur, the son of Yahteh, the oracle. The man saith unto Ithiel and Akar, surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man, and I have not learned wisdom, neither have I the knowledge of the Holy One. Who hath ascended up into heaven and descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in his garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou knowest? All right, let's read a little bit in the Gospel of John now. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man have seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. In chapter 3 of John, chapter 3, verse 13. Remember what was asked in Proverbs, and now listen at 3:13. And no one hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven, even the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And let's read in Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. Verse 12. Our Savior again and again speaks of His coming quickly. And in verse 12, He says, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to each man according as his work is. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that Your Word is filled with things that are so simple that a child can understand them, and so profound that the man to whom Thou was given the greatest wisdom is unable to comprehend them. We are thankful that Thou hast made it thus, our God. Who could ever become Your child unless Thou didst tell us things in so simple a way we could understand? And then, our God, what reverence would we have for Thee if all that we read we understood completely? And so Thou hast put before us both the simple and the profound, both the light and the darkness. Thou hast said unto us, the things that are revealed belong unto the children of men. The things that are hidden belong unto God. And Thou hast revealed things to us, our Father, and Thou hast concealed things from us, because Thou art God, and we are men. But from the reading of Thy Word, we are aware that You have a desire that we have at least a degree of understanding of You and Your Son and Your Spirit, Your universe, Your plans. And we pray, our Father, that from our consideration of the verses that we've read and others like them, our God, that we shall be better informed. And therefore, our God, have that understanding that You would have us to have. Now we thank You for all that You've done for us in the temple way this past week, and we pray for those that have asked for prayer. Remember them. They're those that have needs in their bodies, and those that have needs in their souls, and those that are near and far away. Look upon them all. And now we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Why I've been so hesitant about even bringing you these messages is that if you understood perfectly and I was able to impart to you understanding with all clarity, when we got through considering these portions, you would still be without comprehension. You say, well, why dwell on such things as that? Because God has placed them in His Word, and He wants us to know as much as is possible about His Word, about His Son, about His creation. But I am so glad that when we get through reading certain portions of the Word of God, that instead of God embarrassing us and telling us, now, do you understand them? Instead of that, He tells us in advance that after He explains them to us, we still are not going to understand them. You say, that's such a strange thing. This is the way that God has revealed Himself. So, think first of all of who God is, and then think of the will of God, the ways of God, and if you were able to commit to memory everything that was in the Word of God, this is the answer you would give when you understood everything that was in the Bible, and the question would be asked, now, tell me what you understand. Listen to what Paul tells us after a discussion of some of the most profound questions that could be asked of man in Romans 9, 10, and 11. He says this, oh, the depth both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Listen, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. If God's judgments are unsearchable, can you search them out? You say no. If his ways are past finding out, can you find them out? You say no. Well, this is what Paul tells us after the end of explaining to us as much as anyone has in the Bible about the wisdom and the knowledge of God, his judgments and his ways. He says, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And so when you search them to the depths of your capacity, you will come up and utter this, how unsearchable are his judgments. And when you trace God's ways to the best of your ability, you will say, and his ways past finding out. For the wisest man on earth, who knew the most about the Bible, if you asked him, tell me about the judgment of God and the ways of God, he would say, God's judgment is unsearchable, and his ways are past finding out. So do not be embarrassed if you feel like that man in Proverbs chapter 30. His name was Agur. It means he was a gatherer. He was one who, like Solomon, loved knowledge, and he would gather information from every source and put it all together. And what he had done is this. After a lifetime of gathering, he makes this confession. He says, I am more brutish than any man, and I have not the understanding of a man. He says, I cannot comprehend God, and I do not understand the way of the holy. This is a man that I can admire. There are so many who will send off for a course on the Bible and take 10 lessons, and then he's set up, and he's a professor. He can tell you anything that you want to know. And here is a man that has more knowledge than all the others. He's comparable to Solomon in the Old Testament. And after he has gathered all the knowledge of God and considered all the ways of God and the judgments of God and the nature of God, he understands this concerning himself. He says, I am more brutish than any man. And he said, I can't even be called a man. And he said, in my understanding of the Holy One, he said, why, I've never attained unto it. That is a man that I can admire, because the Bible says, if any man thinketh he knoweth anything, he knoweth not yet as he ought to know. It does not mean this, that we are to possess a false humility, because there are some people who say, I don't know anything. I know many things. And you must know some things, or you're not a child of God. It says this, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou didst send. If you do not know the only true God and his Son, the Lord Jesus, you are lost. You have to know them. But by knowing them, it does not mean you know them to fullness. You know them to the utmost degree. It simply means that you know who the Father is, and you know who his Son is. So you have to know that. And I know this. I know that I pass from death unto life. I know that thou canst do all things and nothing is hid from thy purpose. I know these things because God has told me. And the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So do not be one who falsely goes around and says, I know nothing. And let us not falsely go around and say with Paul, oh, I'm the chiefest of sinners. If in the presence of God you have seen yourself as a worm, as the Bible says, thou worm Jacob, then if you've experienced that, as you think of yourself in comparison with other men, you can say, I am the chief of sinners. And at the same time, if you think of your knowledge in the presence of the omniscience of God, you can say, I am more brutish than any man, and I have not the understanding of a man. But that is one who has been in the presence of God. And that is why I read this portion to you from the book of Job, thoughts from the book of Job that are found in the book of Proverbs, and then the answers that are given in the New Testament. And yet when you put them all together, you will still come up with this conclusion. How unsearchable is judgment and his ways past tracing out. All right. I told you several things, but think now of the purposes that are under consideration given in this book of Proverbs. The question is asked, and this is what makes the man see his own ignorance. He says, who has ascended into heaven and descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? And who has gathered the waters in his garments? Who has established the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou knowest? Think now, because I'm going to put these portions together, the questions that were asked in the book of Judges, and the question that was asked by Jacob in the book of Genesis. Jacob, on that eventful day in his life, wrestled with a man all night long. And he was beginning to perceive that this man with whom he was wrestling was more than a man. He was a supernatural being. And finally, Jacob had the courage to put forth this question. He said, what is your name? And the answer was this, why do you ask concerning my name? How embarrassing for you to ask someone what his name is and for him to humble you by saying, you do not have to ask my name. You know who I am. And Jacob in his soul knew that he had been wrestling with God who had manifested himself in a human form. And he called that place Peniel. He said, I've seen God face to face. Now I must give you a little help in comparing what the Bible says about seeing God face to face, and that no man can see God's face and live. When it says he knew God face to face, this man knew another man face to face, it means in an intimate way, as intimately as possible. And therefore, when it says that a man knew God face to face, it doesn't mean that he knew him to perfection. It did not mean that he understood God with full comprehension, because no man can see God in his fullness and live. He dies. But as much as any man was able to comprehend God and be intimate with God, this was the experience of Moses, and in a lesser degree, the experience of Jacob. And the remarkable thing is this, that when Jacob was beginning to perceive that he was wrestling with God, he said, what is your name? And God would not tell him. He said, why do you ask concerning my name? He knew it was God. Now, in like manner, in the book of Judges, Manoah, when the angel of the Lord appeared to him, he said, I want to know your name so that I can do you honor. And the angel of the Lord said, why do you inquire concerning my name, seeing that it is secret? But I'm just asking you what your name is. And the angel said, it is secret. It is wonderful. It is incomprehensible. How embarrassing. Two men that find they are in the presence of God, one man has wrestled with God, and he says, what is your name? At last, here is a chance for a creature to find out the name of God. And God says, why do you ask my name? And the other man says, what is your name? And God says, it is secret. So the only ones who could ever tell us God's name, who had a conversation with God and asked God, who are you? God said, I'm not going to tell you. Now, the same thing in the book of Proverbs was the experience of Agur, the collector, the gatherer. Because evidently he had spent his lifetime in searching out, in trying to find God. And from what he tells us, he understands ever so much about God. He understands about God going up to heaven and coming down to earth, about God controlling the winds and the waters and the seas and dry land. That's why he's asking all of those questions. It says, who has ascended up to heaven and has descended? He's talking about a supernatural being. And then, after all of his searching, though he confesses with the knowledge that he has, he says, I am more brutish than any man. Still, God has touched at this distant age in the past the fact that there is a triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. Because the one of whom he's speaking is God. Only God can hold the wind in his fists. Only God can gather the waters in the skirts of his garment. Only God can do that. And then he asks the question, what is his name? And what is his son's name? Tell me if you know. And nobody would ever be able to tell him. And that is a question that no one has ever been able to answer. And after I tell you all that I'm going to tell you, you still will not be able to answer it. You say, well, why is it that way? It has to be that way. If God is infinite, how can you, a finite being, understand the infinite? If God is incomprehensible, how can you, a finite being, comprehend God? But he wants us to try. And that is why, at times, he lets us see an inkling of his ways. But he wants us to understand that we are dust, and under dust we are going to return. And that with all of our faculties, those with lofty eyelids and uplifted eyes, he wants us to know how inferior, how unworthy of comparison with him we are. But he wants us to know as much as we can about him. But after it all, we'll say, I'm more brutish than any man, and I have not the understanding of a man. I know not the way. I have not the knowledge of the holy. And what is so interesting about this word when it speaks about the Holy One, it's in the plural. It is God in his fullness, in his majesty, in his incomprehensibility. I understand not the knowledge of the Holy One, all Holy One. Not now. What God has done is this. He's told us a little bit about himself. But it is his nature that is asked about in the book of Proverbs. You see, the nature of God, the one who ascended to heaven, descended, the one who holds the winds in his fist. This is the nature, the person of God. That in Romans chapter 11, it is not the nature and the person of God, that it said, all the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past tracing out. And this is not the nature of God, but the purposes and the decrees of God. And the Apostle Paul has searched them all. And let me tell you two of the purposes of God and two of the decrees of God. This is what he says first of all, and he does it, and he makes no apology and he makes no attempt to explain. It says this, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will harden whom I harden. You say, I don't like that at all. That sounds like the sovereignty of God. And so then, I have mercy on whom I have mercy, and then I will be gentle, I will be compassionate on whom I will be compassionate, and I will harden, and I will blind whom I will blind. And then we come to Romans chapter 10, and it says this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, whosoever, but he just said, I will harden whom I harden, and I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. But then in chapter 10, he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, who can put those things together and can harmonize them? No one can. God could do it, but he does not try to do it. And because of that, we have two systems. We have the Calvinistic system that believes in predestination, and we have the Arminian system that believes that man is his own Lord and Master. And God places them both side by side. And so, if any man comes to me and he says, I'll be saved when I want to be saved, I will tell him this, you'll be saved if God wants you to be saved. If God wants to have mercy upon you, you will be saved. And if not, he will leave you in your blinded, lost condition. And at the same time, if a man comes to me in humility and in repentance and in brokenness of heart, and he says, I want to be saved, but I don't know if God will have me, I will tell him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. You come to the Lord Jesus as a guilty sinner. You come in faith, and he will in no wise cast you out. And God places these things side by side. And this is what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, that God hath put the things that you can understand with the things that you cannot understand side by side, he says, for the purpose of your not being able to figure them out. You say, then, what is the solution? It says, the just shall live by faith. It says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God simply says, trust me. So, as to his nature, what is his name and what is his son's name? And as to his ways and judgments, they are unsearchable and they are past finding out. And yet, he shows us his ways in the Word of God. And I want to bring this to your attention, that the one who knew God most intimately was Moses. And Moses pleaded with God. He said, you've told me that I am your servant, that you have great honor for me. He said, if this is so, he said, show me your ways. And God said, I will do it. And in the book of Exodus is one of the most profound portions of the Word of God. When God takes this finite creature and puts him in the cleft of the rock and puts his hand before that rock as he passes by, and he walks backward past Moses, and then God pronounces his own name. And he tells us of his ways. And Moses, the one who knew the most about God, and yet he's in the cleft of a rock, and God's hand is before him, and God's back is turned. And that's the most that Moses could ever learn about God without dying. And so that's all that we can know about God. What's the most I can know about God? Well, if he put me in the cleft of a rock, put his hand before me, and let me see his back as he walked by and spoke a few words to me, that's the most I could ever understand about God. And it's all that I need to understand about God. And when I comprehend that, my being a creature and his being the creator, then I have been successful in taking the place that is mine as one of God's creatures. and giving God his place as my creator. And that's what he's seeking to accomplish in the scriptures. But now, let's think of these things because they're so profound. In the Old Testament, questions were asked that could not be asked. But now that we have the New Testament, they can be asked. And also, questions in the New Testament that were asked that were unable to be answered by those who heard, now those questions can be answered. Let me tell you what I mean. In the Old Testament, the question is asked, what is the name of this being who ascends to heaven and comes down from heaven, who holds the winds in his fist, who establishes the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? I will buy you a present of any theological work that you choose, if you will ever show me the name of the Savior, what he was going to be called in the Old Testament when he was born. Not the name Emmanuel, but what his human name was going to be when he was born. I'll give you from Genesis to Malachi and show me anywhere in the Old Testament that the Son's name was ever given to us. You'll never find it. That was reserved for Joseph and Mary and for the angel Gabriel who came to Mary to tell that name. What is the name of God and what is God's Son's name? The name of the incarnate Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And that's the first time since the history of the world that the name of God's Son incarnate was going to be made known to man. And what is so beautiful is that the Lord Jesus accepted that name. He went by that name when he was on earth, and he goes by that name now that he's in heaven. You say, how can you tell me that? Because on the road to Damascus, when Saul of Tarsus was smitten down with the brightness of the sun from heaven, he said, Lord, who art thou? And this is the answer from heaven. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. So, what is his son's name? He's told me from heaven, I am Jesus of Nazareth. But, do not think that you can say, I know the son's name, his name is Jesus. That is simply the human name that was given to the Savior when he was on earth. That is just the beginning. That is just the outskirts of the significance of his son. You know that. For this reason, I'm going to tell you now something that is so beautiful, because Jehovah's Witnesses come at times, and they are determined to make Jesus a creature, whereas he is God manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. That is the Savior. But now, here is what they say. They say, oh, Jesus is a God, but he's not God. You'll find in Revelation 1, the name of God. Who are you? He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. You come to chapter 21. Who are you? He says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And you come to Revelation chapter 22. And the Lord Jesus, when he is asked, who are you? And the Lord Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Everything that the Father is, the Son is. He is not identical to the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But every attribute that the Father possesses is possessed by his Son, the Lord Jesus. And so if someone says that Jesus is the first thing that God created, when it says the Father is the Alpha and Omega, did he have a beginning? You say, of course not. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus said, I am the first and the last. God says, I am the first and the last. The Lord Jesus said, I am the beginning and I am the end. The Lord Jesus said, all that the Father is, I tell you, I am. And so if you want to know the nature of God, it is found in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all you will ever know about the nature of God is found in his Son. That's why I read you John chapter 1 verse 18. It says, no man hath seen God at any time. But what about Moses that has seen God in His fullness. There is only one who has ever seen God in His fullness. And that's the first verse in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And it said the Word was facing God. The Lord Jesus is the only one who has ever seen God face to face in His fullness and can comprehend Him, Jesus, as the Word of God. And it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And no man has seen God at any time. The Son saw Him, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. He has revealed Him. All that man will ever know about the Father was revealed in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is so remarkable is this. When the questions are asked, who has ascended into heaven and descended? The Lord Jesus will say, I have. Because He said, I came down from heaven from my Father, and I'm going back to heaven to my Father. Who has held the winds in His fists? Who has control of the elements? The Lord Jesus said, I do. And the winds and the waves, when the Savior was in the ship, the storm was raging. And the Lord Jesus said, peace, be still. And the winds were in His fists, and He controlled them. And the waters, it says, there was a great calm. And who has established the ends of the earth? The Lord Jesus has. Because it says concerning Him, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him hath not anything been made that has been made. It says in Hebrews chapter 1 that the Lord Jesus is the maker of all things. He upholds all things by the word of His power. And it says in Colossians chapter 1 that all things are made by Him, things visible and things invisible. Every angelic being and every material thing in this universe was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Savior, when He's asked this question, who are you? As now, the one who became man and is forever a glorified man. He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. I used to live in Nazareth, and now I'm in heaven. And what I'm trying to do now is to save sinners like you, Saul of Tarsus. And so that is our Savior. It says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. And that's what happened when Jesus came down from heaven. He was made a little lower than the angels. But now it says, you've crowned him with glory and honor, and you've given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, I've told you about the Father and the Son and creation. I've told you all of this, and still, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. But I told you as much as mortal can know, and Jesus Christ, whom to know, is life eternal. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that You have condescended to speak to us creatures of the dust, we who are going to die, but we are thankful that You've sent Your Son, the resurrection and the life. We are thankful, our God, that we have life in Him. We are thankful that You've begun to manifest Yourself to us in a small measure. Our God, You're incomprehensible. And concerning Your grace and Your goodness and Your love, I was said that in the ages to come, You will unfold unto us the exceeding riches of Your grace, the incomprehensible riches of Your grace. And so, our Father, we thank You for eternity that lies before us. We shall be learning for all eternity, and we shall never know Thee to the full, but we'll learn more about Thee. And we'll be with Your Son, and we shall see God, because I was said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, they shall see His face. We thank You for what we have seen of You in the face of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus. And we are thankful for that certain hope that in that coming day we shall see You and we shall see Jesus Christ face to face. For all these blessings receive our thanks. We give Thee our thanks in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.